Shalom, shalom, and welcome to Wisdom and Torah again. I am delighted to continue our teachings on the month of Elul. We know that as I'm recording this, this is the first full day of the month of Elul. And what I want to do right before, because I know that some of you have been really enjoying the prayers, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And if you notice, there's a lot of verses that I give you here. And I did it two ways, because there are people who rather have only pray scriptures. So I did it that way. I give you a whole bunch of verses, starting with a Shema all the way down through to almost over 200 verses in prayers. And then we did the second part, which is called the Selichot prayers, taken from the Siddur on the second part of the prayers, which, by the way, is all basically verses composed like in a poem type setting. So it's very beautiful. Remember, this is a prayers that are done in order to understand what is called the language of royalty and the language of repentance. I want to give you some backgrounds on some of the things that I posted there. And if you notice, in one of the prayers at the end of the introduction, the first part, I put in Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That is immediately after the last psalm that I quoted on the first part of the prayers, is Psalms 104. And then we say the Shema again, and we say Yahweh Hu Elohim, Yahweh Hu Elohim. Normally, the way you say that is this is a chasan, a cantor. You say Yahweh Hu Elohim, or Adonai Hu Elohim, and then the community says Adonai Hu Elohim, and we repeat that four times. And then we say Yahweh Malach, Yahweh Yahweh Melech, Yahweh Malach, Yahweh Yimloch Leolam Vaed. Yahweh reigns, Yahweh reign, and Yahweh will reign forever and ever. And then what we say, and it's taken from the part of Hu HaElohim, Yahweh Hu HaElohim, and we call upon Him. Normally they do it on Yom Kippur. After the closing of the doors in the temple, all the community will raise their hands and say, Yahweh Hu HaElohim, or Adonai Hu HaElohim, who is like you? He is Elohim. He is the creator. He is everything. Yahweh, He is the creator. And where do they get that from? They got that from Eliyahu, from Elijah the prophet, when he had an encounter with the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 17, chapter 18, verse 38. And it says, and fire of Yahweh descended and consumed the elevation offering, the wood and the stones and the earth. And he licked up the water in the trench. The entire people saw and fell on their faces and exclaimed, Yahweh Hu Elohim, Yahweh Hu Elohim. At that moment, they saw the real power and the real God, that it was not the God of the prophets of Baal, but it was the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And everybody hit the deck. You know, many people make a big issue about the name. And I do believe, by the way, that the name should be used, but not in everyday conversation. We have to be careful not to make it just, you know, common. But, you know, when people all have issues with using the word Adonai, Elohim, whatever, we already talked a little bit about that last time. Notice how they did it. It says, the entire people saw and fell on their faces and exclaimed. That's the way they used to respond every time they heard their name in the temple also. When you heard on the day of Yom Kippur, they used to use the name 10 times. And at that moment, everybody will hit the deck. They will hit the floor on their faces. And then they will basically say the name. And they say, blessed be His name and His kingdom forever and ever. What I'm doing, I'm trying to give you some biblical references why we pray the way we pray. Remember that the idea behind these prayers is to bring the body of Mashiach, or Israel as a whole, to come together as one people and one voice. Okay, that's the whole idea. So, you know, I've been doing them ever since, every day. And I'll tell you one thing, it's been an amazing experience for me to be able to present myself as a living sacrifice and be able to pray to the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. Thank you, Yeshua, for the privilege to restore us into the kingdom. Now, the next part will be, created me a clean heart. And that's taken from Psalms 51 verse 12, okay? Verse 12, and it says, Lev tahor behali Elohim beruach nachon chadesh beribi. So it says, created me a clean heart, O Elohim, and a renewed steadfast spirit within me. And then you continue to go and says, Tashlicheni milfanecha beruach kotshecha artikach mimeni, which says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take away your steadfast, your Holy Spirit from me. And then the last part is, I cry with my whole heart, answer me. And that's more like a petition. I will cry up with my whole heart, answer me. Yahweh will keep your statutes and commandments, and your right hand is outstretched, all those who return to you. It's a beautiful prayer that I wanted to include in this time of Teshuvah. Now, let me give you some background a little bit more in regards to the month of Elul. Now, many people say, well, that's a tradition. That's what they do. Well, let me show you what the month of Elul is in context of the Bible. In the book of Haggai, remember, the Haggai was a prophet who was a contemporary of Daniel, of Nehemiah, of Ezra, and all those guys during the time they were in exile. And in the chapter 1 of the book of Haggai, you're going to see really something interesting. It says, in the second month of the king Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshua, the son of Jehoshadak, the high priest, saying, thus speak Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time of the Lord's house should be built. Now, it's talking about the condition, not only of Israel, but the time on the dispersion in the time of the King Darius, after he made conquer of the Babylonian Empire. And then what happens is that now the father is saying, it's time to return. 70 years have been fulfilled. This is what the prayer of Daniel is connected to this. And this is what the prayer of Nehemiah is connected to this. All these are contemporaries, right? So what we see here is the sixth month, the first day of the month. Now, there are many different traditions that goes along with this, but I'm going to stay with the biblical understanding of this. The 40 days of Teshuvah, the time of Teshuvah, remember, this month is also considered in the Mesorah, which is the what is called biblical astronomy, not astrology, but biblical astronomy. This is also considered what is called Bethula, which is the virgin. Now, we know that the let me break this down. In the civil calendar, which I know many people in the Hebrew Roots movement does not really follow, because we have different countings of dates. We have the countings of the Jubilee, which comes from Tishri all the way to Tishri, from creation to the end times. That's why Messiah comes in the fall feast, because he will come to fulfill to the moment of creation, to the moment of a restoration from the beginning to end. He's coming at the same time, during the feast on the fall, specifically Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. And now you have the religious calendar, which is basically counting the feast. So if you count from Pesach, from what is called Nisan or Aviv, right? And you count 7 months, you go from the sixth month is Elul, you follow? Which happens to be the 12th month, if you're counting from Tishri being the first year, the first month of the year, all the way to the end. So now the month of Elul in the civil calendar will become the 12th month, and the month of Elul, which represents the virgin, will become the sixth month counting from Passover. Are you with me? Now, this is important. Why is this? Because it was exactly at this time in which the prophet received a word from Yahweh in regards to what? Returning from the dispersion and rebuilding the temple. And that's the premise of why I put this here on the blog, because we are the kingdom, we are the bride in the dispersion, in our dispersed nature, and where we're at in the diaspora. And now we need to prepare our bodies and our minds and our hearts to present ourselves before the King of the Universe. So let me continue reading in chapter 1. It says, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, the people says, the time is not come, the time of the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. See, that's a call to remember, to repentance. Consider your ways. Okay? You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says Yahweh. And you looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because my house is in ruins, while every one of you runs his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, and on the grain, on the new wine, and the oil, and whatever the ground brings forth, or on men and livestock, and all the labors of your hand. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you study the Torah, you know that blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the commandments. If you break the commandments, which leads you into dispersion and it leads you away from the blessing, then we need to teshuvah. We need to consider our ways and return to the original plan. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant, listen to this, with all the remnant of the people, obey the voice of Yahweh the Elohim and the word of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh the Elohim has sent him. And the people fear the presence of Elohim. Then Haggai and the Lord's messenger, Yahweh's messenger, spoke the words, the Lord's messenger to the people, saying, I am with you, says Adonai. Now, Yah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Yahshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. In the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. So, now you have the first day, right? They're called to consider the ways. That's when the word of the Lord came down on to speak through Haggai. On the 24th day, and this Ashkenazi tradition, they do they begin to do the prayers on the 25th of the sixth month, which is the month of Elul, praying all the way through Yom Kippur, leading them all the way to the Day of Atonement. The Tabernacles, right? Then chapter 2. There's only two chapters in the book of Haggai, okay? And it says, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai and the prophet, saying, speak now. So when is the 21st day of the month? According to the Hebrew calendar, the 21st of Tishri, it's right in the middle of Hoshana Rabbah, which is great day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, is the last great day of the feast. That will be when you have the water ceremony. Okay? I'm sorry, that's Simchat Torah. So here, Hoshana Rabbah. So that's when you would do that. So anyway, we'll go all the way to the 21st of Tishri. So here we see the connection in the book of Haggai with the month of Elul, Yahweh calling the dispersed and the people in Israel to consider their ways and to start building what? The temple. But we don't have a temple right now, Rico. So how will we understand this? But wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to be the temple of the Creator? Aren't we supposed to be now a living sacrifice, according to what Paul tells us, for us to present ourselves as living sacrifice? So I'm calling on you to return and consider our ways, and instead of focusing on all the things that are happening around us, let's focus to rebuild this temple and to make it cleansed, because we are the bride Remember, the month of the Lul is Virgo, which is considered Betula in Hebrew, which means a bride. And then we are going to go to the month of Tishri, that according to what is called the astronomy, is what? Balances, scales, according to even the Hebrew understanding. Even in the Jewish understanding, they consider the time of Tishri scales. Why? You have the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Trumpets, and then you have the Day of Atonement. Then you have what? Feast of Tabernacles. So you have, you repent, then you are judged, you put in the balance, and then you rejoice in Him. Okay? So let me continue reading here. Verse 4, chapter 2 of Haggai. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says Adonai, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says Adonai, and work, for I am with you, says Adonai of hosts. According to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my Ruach, my spirit, remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake heavens and earth, sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill their temple, this temple, with glory, says Yahweh of hosts. Now remember, we are living in very special times, because even right now in Israel, they even have the plans for the next temple. Now, I'm not saying, we're not going to get into this now, because I just want to give you an idea of where we are spiritually. He's calling us to consider our ways, and then we are cleansing our bodies, our minds, and our souls to call out to Him as one people, as one nation, as one heart. And it just so happened, and this time in history, we have our plans for the temple to be restored. We know Messiah will build the third temple, we know that. But right now, the fact that they're making plans is very significant. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in very special times. And some of you, in some of the response of the emails, which I don't take personal, by the way, because I understand where you're coming from, you are so concerned about endless repetitions or repeating something over and over and over. Ladies and gentlemen, I gave you over 10 Psalms. Do you know where I got them from? From the Siddur that the Orthodox use every time, every year during this time. So it's like the verses are there so we can speak His words. He's going to do the work of redemption. Okay? It says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says Yahweh of hosts. And on the 24th day, verse 10 of chapter 2, on the 24th day of the ninth month, you see? Now we're going to go ninth month. It says, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries the holy meat to the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread and stew, wine or oil or food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of the dead body touches any of these, will he be unclean? So the priest answered and says, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is this people, so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Now notice, says, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. He didn't say that people are not holy in the sense that they've been set apart for Him in the context of holiness according to the promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, he's saying about their actions, their deeds, their daily obedience to the Torah. Watch, verse 15. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stones was laid upon stones in the temple of Yahweh, since those days when one came to heap a 20 ephod, where there were but 10, and one came to the wine vat and draw out 50 bath from the press, but there were but 20. I struck you with a blind and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now, from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day of the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. is indeed still in the barn, and yet the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree has not yielded fruit. But from this day forward, I will bless you. Verse 20. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the night, of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Yehuda. I will shake heavens and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brothers. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says Adonai, and I will make you a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says Yahweh of hosts. Ladies and gentlemen, I read all this because I want you to understand that we are living in prophetic times. We are living in the times in which the coming of our king will come soon. The king sent from the Father is going to be Mashiach. Okay? So now what happens is, we believe in getting our bodies ready. We are the bride. We are the bride, but are we keeping ourselves pure as a virgin bride should? If we are not, it's time to reconsider our ways. It's time to repent. In the temple service, which psalm would you quote every day, twice a day, into the day of into the Feast of Tabernacles? Psalms 27, and this is why I posted in the first half of the verses, I posted right after one Psalms 145 and half Kaddish, I did Psalms 27, and then also towards the end. So what I will want you to do is to also quote that twice during the day, because that's how it was done in the temple. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not rabbinical. The rabbis preserved it for us from the temple service. So in the morning, after the morning prayers, they will quote, they will sound the shofar, and then they would, for 40 days, they will sound the shofar, calling to repentance, and then they will sing Psalm 24, 27 in the morning and in the afternoon. So anyway, this is known as the Yamin Noraim, which is called the Days of Awe, and it happens from Yom Teruah to Yom Kippur. So, you know, we have a lot to learn from. We have a lot to understand. And by the way, you know, the book of Ephesians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is basically written in the language of this time of the year. If you read Ephesians and if you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians specifically, the language that Paul is using basically has to do with the same time and the same Haftorah portions that we're reading right now in the Haftorahs of Consolation. So also read 1 Corinthians. It talks about those who are asleep, not to slumber. And this is all language of repentance. So the month of Elul, even though it's considered an observance in rabbinical Judaism in commemoration of the 40 days of the third time that Moses went up to the mountain to receive the second tablets, but also it's in connection with the book of Haggai, when Yahweh called Israel back to repentance to restore his temple during the time that, in according to astronomy, is considered what is called Bethula, the virgin. We are Israel. We're supposed to be a virgin, but we have been whoring among the nations, and then leading us into repentance and to return, sounding the shofar, to turn our ways, to come back to him, leading us into the Day of Atonement. And then after we've been put in the balances and we've been found innocent, then we can go into the Feast of Tabernacles. By the way, this has nothing to do with the work of Yeshua. What Yeshua did for us is something so unique and so amazing and so incredible that what he did, he took the penalty of willful rebellious sin, which there was no sacrifice for, and he says, I will die on behalf of my bride forever. They will no longer will have to worry about future condemnation for eternal life. But during the time that we're here, into the coming, until we are transformed, until we are changed of a twinkling of an eye, we still deal with this flesh. And unfortunately, we still break a commandment. And we make enemies. Or sometimes we say things that offend our brothers. Sometimes we say things that are not pleasing unto the Creator. Sometimes we're not as faithful to the commandments as we should. So therefore now, I believe this is why we need to come as one people, as one nation, to continually ask for the favor of our Creator to have mercy on His people and to regather us from the nations, to restore us and to restore the prophets and the judges as at first, and to restore the Shekhinah unto Zion, the glory of Yahweh unto Zion, which that means the return of Mashiach unto earth to dwell with us. Listen, if you open your eyes and if you open your heart and if you open your mind, and we understand the premise of what we're trying to do, is to bring unity in mind and heart and soul to call our Father in a manner of one people as one bride, not to separate from each other. And it, honestly, it's sad that still some people don't get it. You know, it's sad that people are so worried about looking like Orthodox people when in fact the Orthodox people are doing this correct. I'll tell you, if the Orthodox are doing something I don't agree with, I'll tell you. But let me tell you something right now. Orthodox Judaism is doing something that the whole Hebrew Roots movement should be doing. Learning to pray as one people and learning to repent and talk to the Father in a manner that is conducive and the manner that a king should deserve to be speaking to. That's my objective with all of this. Amen? So we can learn from my brother Judah on the things that I think we need to learn from. By the way, we just started this walk. We don't really know much. We are learning. We are guiding ourselves through this journey, and it's not easy. So please be encouraged. And I don't want to force you to do anything you don't want to do. They're there for you to gain and to glean from. And, you know, like today, I got up in the morning, and I didn't feel like praying, honestly. I just didn't feel like praying. But when I began to pray the Psalms, man, when I began to hear His words, let me show you what really, really, really got me today. I mean, my whole demeanor changed when all of a sudden I'm praying His words. And I come to this psalm right here. And I just, you know, this psalm right here that I'm going to read. It's the second part. I did the second part today. And when I read Psalm 25, when it says, "To you, O Adonai, I lift up my soul. O my Elohim, in you I have put my trust. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those who are treacherous without cause be ashamed. Show me your ways, O Yahweh, and teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are Elohim of my deliverance, and on you I wait all the day. Remember, O Yahweh, your compassion and your kindness, for they are from everlasting. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my transgressions. According to your kindness, remember me, for your goodness sake, oh Yahweh." If that's not beautiful, I don't know what is. So anyway, Yahweh bless you and keep you. I just want to give you a little heads up, reasons why I'm doing some other things, because we got to continue to educate each other and to help each other. And I want us to understand the premise and the motivation, more than anything, is to bring unity to the kingdom in all the midst of trouble. Listen, we should be in awe. We should be grateful. We should be thankful that we, the remnant, still get the opportunity that the children of Israel got over there in the dispersion in the time of Haggai. A call from Yahweh to build the temple, to rebuild the house of Yah. Well, we don't really have the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, but you know what? We can build this house. And as for me and my house, we will follow Yahweh, and I will say, Yahweh Hu Elohim, Yahweh Hu Elohim, Yahweh Hu Elohim, Yahweh Hu HaElohim. And I will finish by saying Psalm 51, in which it says, beautiful psalm, which says, "Lev tahor berali Elohim beruach nachon chadesh bechirubi." Created me, O Elohim, a pure heart and a renewed spirit from within me. And do not take your presence from me or take your Holy Spirit from me. Yahweh bless you. We'll see you next time. Please enjoy the prayers. And let this time of repentance be a life-changing experience, and that your relationship will go to the different level of intimacy with our Elohim. Remember, we the bride are getting ready for the coming of our groom. Amen. Shalom.